2 Corinthians chapter 10, begin reading the message at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness the revenge of all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Praise God for the reading and the hearing of His precious word. Now, I am aware that when I stand right here where I am and do what I'm doing, that I'm on the firing line. I am aware that there is a colossal battle going on here, and that I'm fighting with spiritual forces, I'm fighting with situations, I'm fighting with all kinds of battles that are going on. I'm aware of that anytime I walk up here. But I'm aware of something else. I don't know how many people are here, but ever how many people here are here, there are that many battles going on this morning. All of you who came in here this morning and sat down have a battle going on in your life somewhere. Now, you may not be fighting the same battle that I would be fighting. I've decided that there's no quarter, there's no recess period, there's no downtime for me, that I'm going to be fighting 24/7 nonstop till Jesus gets here or calls me home. It just seems to work that way. And I'm resigned to the fact that I'm going to fight. We used to sing a chorus, I ain't going to run when the battle gets hot. I'm going to keep on fighting till He comes. And I'm resigned to the fact that I'm going to fight a battle until the day I go. If I live to be 175, I'm going to be fighting a battle. It's not going to let up. It's not going to get easy. I so wish sometimes that Satan would take a vacation or just 2 or 3 days off. It would be nice, wouldn't it? I have to tell you about that old booger. Give the devil his dues, the old saying is. He is not lazy, is he? Now, there's some lazy Christians and there's some lazy people, but the devil is not lazy, and he is waging a warfare. Now, if you haven't noticed it, he wants us to be fighting on multiple fronts. That's a good trick in physical warfare. If nations are fighting, if you can get a nation to divide their troops and have to fight over here, that's one way we whipped Hitler, was got him to fight in Russia on the east and the Allies on the west and the Allies from the south, and he couldn't spread himself thin enough and thick enough to get the job done. Well, we feel good about that. Let me tell you, Satan's a master at that. Now, I heard somebody talking a while back, said, you know, we just now got into guerrilla warfare in the last few years. Well, if you think guerrilla warfare has just been invented in the last few years, you haven't been paying attention. Satan has been waging guerrilla warfare as long as there has been a human being. In fact, he was waging guerrilla warfare before there was a human being. There was a war going on. We were created in the middle of a war. We were created in the middle of what's going on. Now, the battles that you have impact your life specifically. And if you pay attention, when this starts going over here, don't worry about it. Something's going to happen over here. If Satan doesn't do anything else, he'll attack your washer, your dryer, your water pump, your car, and everything that you've got that's mechanical. And all of them will break down at one time. And if you don't think that can frustrate you, I can tell you you're a good person if you're not frustrated when that happens. But I can tell you what else you do. He'll attack your children, your grandchildren, and your neighbors all at the same time. Or maybe worse, he'll have them attack you all at the same time. Can that happen? It happens every day. We are attacked on multiple fronts all the time. And so when I stand up here, there's all these battles going on all over here. Some of you came fighting a battle of sickness. Some of you came fighting a battle of doubt or depression. Some of you came fighting a battle of disease. Some of you came fighting just a plain old battle with the devil. You're having some of you came fighting with a battle of addiction. And some of you came fighting a battle with demons that are tormenting you. All kinds of battles are going on every time I stand up here to preach. And when I preach the gospel, you know what? It stirs the battle. It causes you to think. Now, the way Barbara thinks about the message and the way Louise thinks about the message is not going to be the same. You're going to apply the message to your life and to your heart according to what you're going through. You're going to see it in the light of the situation that you're in. And so we all are in this battle. I'm in a colossal battle. And you say, yeah, but you're the preacher. Do you think that you're going to get off scot-free? You remember the old hymn that says, shall I be carried to the clouds on flowery beds of ease while others toil? My brothers and sisters, you're not going to get away free. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be a fight. Now, our text tells us something, if we'll pay attention to it, that I just read, that the battle is extremely personal. Now, we like to think of the cosmic battle that's going on between God and the devil. We like to think about the hordes of demons that are fighting against the armies of heaven. We like to think in terms of Armageddon and the armies marching against Israel and the armies coming from heaven and fighting against them. We like to think in those great big terms about the colossal battle that's going on. And it's going on. Don't misunderstand me. There is a colossal battle going on all the time. But the truth is, the biggest battle that's going on is going on between the 6 or 7 inches between your ears. That's where the big battle's at. That's where the great battle's being fought. It's being fought person by person all over the world. Satan and his imps are attacking human beings right here and taking their mind. You see, our text talks about thoughts and imaginations. You see, in other parts of the scripture, it speaks of our battle as a wrestling match. You cannot have a more intimate form of combat than wrestling. We're used to pushing a button and a drone or a missile or something attacking an enemy that we can't see. We look through our satellites and we say, well, over there in Afghanistan, next to the Pakistani border, there is an enclave of Al-Qaeda. We don't see them. We don't smell their breath or see their sweat or look at their eyes. We see it through a satellite. Then we decide that we're going to take them out. So we aim our gizmos that we've got and get all of our computers going, and we send up an unmanned plane or a missile that's guided from where we are, and men sit with their hands on keyboards watching screens, and the missiles go yonder and destroy the enemy, hopefully. Well, they actually do, don't they? Now, we're used to that. But I have to tell you, Satan don't fight long distance. He will grab you and hold you and hold on to you. We wrestle, the scripture says. We wrestle. Now, how do you wrestle? I can't wrestle Earl from over here. Oh, I can do a Fred Sanford, you know, from over here. I could say, oh, I'm going to get Wally. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. Well, that's easy. Wally's way over there, and I'm way over here. Let me tell you something. When you get close enough to wrestle, you have to be close enough for the enemy to take hold of you, and one better, for you to take hold to the enemy. When's the last time you took hold to the devil?
I mean, we're always used to talking about when the devil attacks us, the battle is on. We're talking about the devil is wrestling us down. How about wrestling the devil down? How about you getting hold to the devil and giving him a full Nelson? How about you knocking his feet out from under him, throwing him in the floor and pinning him down one time? Amen? I mean, how about when you get up in the morning, the devil says, oh no, he's getting out of bed. Look, he's put his feet on and he's walking. Oh, run, demons, run. Eddie's coming. Here he comes. I mean, how about that? How about you getting up with your mind made up that you're going to fight the battle, you're going to win the battle, you're going to overcome the enemy, and when the enemy sees you coming, he says, oh no, he's coming in the name of Jesus. He's got the sword. He's got the shield. He's coming with power and authority from on high. Well, but we sit around and we say, oh, the devil's just doing such a number on me. I mean, it's no wonder the devil must have a great old time listening to us testify sometimes. I've told you this story before. Crowd of people coming in the door of the funeral home one night, and one dear sister in Christ who's in heaven now, I do believe she is. She loved the Lord. She washed herself white in the blood of the Lamb. She's filled with the Holy Ghost. But she was defeated every time you talked to her. And I said, how are you tonight? And she said, oh, Brother Eddie, you don't know how it is. The devil's given me a fit this week. It's just been awful what all I've been going through with and how the devil's been giving me a fight. I reminded myself from then on out to say, oh, sister, it's so good to see you tonight. I'm glad to see you out. And I never again asked that question because I knew what the answer was going to be. But don't you know, the old Nick was so glad to hear her testify about how effective he's been in her life this past week. You see, the battle is personal. And Satan is here to destroy you. Not necessarily us, although he is, but he's here to destroy you. The thief comes to do what Jesus said? Steal, kill, and destroy. And he's come to take you down. And he's not afraid to get personal with you. He'll wrap his arms around you and you'll have to smell his breath. You'll have to feel his sweat. You'll have to feel the heat of his old hellish body. And he's going to throw you down and grab you and sit on you if he can at all. And if you win your battle against the devil, you're going to have to take hold of him and you're going to have to fight him. You're not going to be able to sit back and say, well, I took a class, demonology, and I'm going to destroy the devil with my, you know, I'm going to psych him out. You're never going to psych the devil out. You might Jesus him out. You might cast him out, but you're not going to psych him out. But hey, he can do a job on you. You see, Paul says that we are fighting and we have to destroy what? Thoughts, and what else? Imaginations. If you can control what you think, you're going to be doing a great job in life. You're going to be fighting the devil because Satan is going... Now you see, Satan has a big asset in your life. And you say, what's that? Your flesh. You're a human being, and you're made out of the flesh. So he's going to put everything he can in front of you to make you imagine everything that's not right. People imagine somebody's against them. People imagine all kinds of things, nasty things, and all kinds of weird things all the time. And Satan is there for that. And we have to fight against it. The battle is personal to start with. It's in your mind and you have to fight Satan. And I have to tell you something. Nobody can actually win that battle but you and God. I cannot control what's going on inside of your head. Now, if I could do that, well, I'd had less trouble along with some folks along the way. But they have their own thoughts and their own free will, and they can do it. So the battle is raging this morning. Each and every one of you back there is thinking something. And each and every one of you has a battle going on. And since I'm preaching this kind of message, you're thinking about what you're fighting about right now. You're thinking about that situation at work, that situation with old so-and-so. You're thinking about that situation with your kid or with your mother-in-law or with somebody else. You've got those things on your mind. You see, you're fighting a personal battle. But you see, we think about these things. We get them on our mind. And right now, you're thinking about the battles that you have to fight. Now, I have to tell you, you know who the enemy is. There's not a person in this building that doesn't know who the enemy is. The enemy is the devil, that old serpent, the dragon that came down from the Ancient of Days. The scripture says we know his devices and we know his strongholds. Now, Satan builds forts. You know what a stronghold is. You've seen the stories from pioneer days. Here in Giles County, the Liebrooks and the Snidos over at Pembroke had a fort right at where Sinking Creek runs out into the New River. And when the Indians would come from Ohio down here, the Shawnees, with their arrows and their guns and scalping and raping and pillaging and capturing and burning and all that, the settlers in the east end of Giles County would run to the base of Sinking Creek and get inside the fort. And why would they get in there? Well, they would get in there because they were defended. They had stockades around them. They had food supplies in there. They had water in there. And they could defend themselves against the Indians. Let me tell you something. Satan will build strongholds in your life. He'll build these places in your life where he can get inside of, and you have to root him out. You have to really fight him to get out of there. We know the enemy, his devices, and his strongholds. And that scripture that says we wrestle, not against flesh and blood. The sooner you get that out of your mind, that the enemy is not other human beings. The enemy is the spirit that's inspiring them. We fight against what? We fight against powers, principalities, rulers, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, brothers and sisters, that's a spiritual battle. And if you win it, you're going to have to win it with spiritual forces. Now, every once in a while, I see Christians that want to use physical force. They want to use something fleshly, something of the world to get the battle done. All that's going to do is tickle the devil to death. All that's going to do is make Satan so happy because he's got you mad. He's got you stirred up. He's got you tried. He's got you in a panic. And when you get in a panic, then you want to double up your fists. You want to smack somebody or something. And you want to get something done. It's kind of like when we were over at Pulaski having that tent meeting a long, long time ago out on Robertson Track. And we were attacked. They came in the pulpit and attacked us. And they were outside attacking us. And I stayed in. A sailor boy got saved that night. And I stayed in the tent and prayed for him. And when I came out, I discovered that the whole crowd was outside watching the spectacle. And this fellow and his friends were cursing Sister Effie and the other ministers and the people. And when I stepped out the door, that's what he'd been waiting on. And he said, "And drummer boy there." And of course, he led into cursing us all and giving us down the road. And Brother Mooney was standing there, God love his heart. He doubled up that big old maul of a fist he had, and he said, "Sister Effie, get out of the way and let me hit him. Won't be but two licks, one I hit him when he hits the ground." She said, "Oh, Brother Mooney, we didn't come to fight him. We come to save him." But he couldn't stand seeing us being cursed, and I agree. I never enjoyed being cursed, by the way, and jumped on. But the guys were drunk, and they were having a big time out there in the night, and they decided to attack the Holy Rollers, having a tent meeting. So they came after us. And Brother Mooney had his fist doubled up. And if she'd have stepped back in a minute, he would have hit the man. But I can tell you, that's a physical answer to a spiritual problem. The man had a spiritual problem. The man had problems with who he was and what he was doing. We're wrestling, my friend. Don't think that you can win this battle by turning to the things of the flesh. Don't think that you can win this battle with your imagination or your reasoning or anything like that. The battle you're fighting, and it's destroying hearts and lives and homes and children and all kinds of things, My friend, if you win and fight this battle, you're going to have to win it on a spiritual basis, because the daddy of all of this is the devil. Yes, there is a real devil, an ungodly slew foot that was once the king of all angels, who has turned against the living God and failed God and is fighting against everything that there is. Now, as you fight this personal battle, and as you fight this wrestling match against Satan, you have to fight it through something that's very complicated. Interpersonal relationships. Wow. Yeah, it'd be easy to get through this life if you didn't have other people to fool with, wouldn't it? I mean, if you didn't have in-laws, or if you didn't have fellow workers, if you could just go through life and on your own and live on easy street, well, things would be good, wouldn't it? Things would be great. But the thing of it is, there's a bunch of people in the world. And there are people in the church. Well, the greatest gift of the grace of God is to teach all of us to come in here together and get along with each other and love each other, because we come from so many diverse backgrounds and so many diverse ideologies and things. And then we come together, and the thing that unites us is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to come to that. But when we get into interpersonal relationships, man, this is everything you do. Now, you could become a monk, go live in the desert, and sit on a rock and eat snails, and not talk to nobody, I guess. I could never do that. I could never be mad enough to be silent, or never be mad enough to pout. I just have to blow off what I got to say and go on with it, of course. And then I have to pray about that. I have to pray not to do that. Now, here's the thing. You got a wife, you got a husband, you got a mother, you got a father, you got children, you got grandchildren, you got neighbors, you got friends, you got enemies, you got people that you can't explain it, but for just some reason they don't like you. They don't like what you wear, or the way you smile, or the way you look. There's just things about you they don't like. I've never understood anybody that felt that way about anybody, but there are people that do feel that way. And you have to deal in all these interpersonal relationships. Now, in the midst of dealing with that, you got this old devil who's instigating all kinds of stuff in those interpersonal relationships. And if he can get you to, he'll get you to say something stupid that'll just exacerbate the whole situation. He'll get you to say something off the color, or off the wall. He'll get you to say something that hurts somebody's feelings. Or he'll get them to say something that hurts your feelings. Now, I hear people say, "Oh, you got your feelings on your shoulders, and I don't go around getting your feelings hurt." Let me ask you something. Within the last month, how many of us have had our feelings hurt? Yeah. And it's going to happen in the next month, too. Mark it down. Somebody is going to say something or do something that's going to hurt your feelings. It's going to happen. Just get used to it. Get it in your head that in interpersonal relationships, everything is not going to happen the way you want it to happen. Everybody is not going to come up and say, "Oh, bless you, my brother. We're just so thankful for you. We're just so grateful to you. We're just glad that you're here." I mean, you know, when Joseph told his brothers that God showed him they were all going to do that to him, it got him in a heap of trouble, didn't it? It got him, everybody hated him to start with. They threw him in a pit and they sold him as a slave, treated him like a dog, as a piece of chattel or a piece of merchandise to be sold. So as you fight this battle, you got these interpersonal relationships and the relationships that everybody have. And in our day and time, we've got an extra whammy. I want to say we got the specter of blended families. But blended, well, that sounds pretty calm. And pretty, it sounds like it's just moving pretty good, you know. That's what we do when we're cooking something good, is blended. And so we talk about blended families. Well, most of the time it's not blended families. It's shook up families. You remember how to churn? How many of you ever churned? Well, you know how you churn? You don't churn by blending. You churn by, you know, it used to be shaken. And sometimes you put a dasher down in an old wooden churn. And you don't churn, but say, now I'm going to blend this milk all together, and I'm going to bring this soft, nice butter to the top. Man, churning is a violent thing. Churn, 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 churn. And then you had these electric churns that came along, and you had the milk in a jar, and it shook it like this. The churning of milk brings forth butter, and the wringing of the nose brings forth blood, the Bible said. And in most of the situations we're talking about, when we're talking about blended families, we're really talking about churn families. We're talking about just mixed up. We're just, you know, everything's just mixed up, and you really can't put a handle on anything, and you just wonder how it is. Well, that creates interpersonal relationship problems. And if you don't think the devil likes a mixed up family situation, you ain't met the devil yet, honey. Because he likes to use that. And he will use that. And he'll do it to tear you all to pieces. And he'll keep you on the verge of tears and biting your nails. Of course, that wouldn't be any sign with me. And he'll keep you biting your nails. He'll keep you jittering and twisting and wondering because of the mixed up situation of your family. We're in it. We can't get out of it. You got a family that's mixed up. What can you do about it? Do the best you can. Hey, that's some great big something, isn't it, to save somebody? Do the best you can. You can't change it. Now, if you could change it and make everything different, that'd be great. What are you saying? That's a battle you got to fight. And there's hardly a person in this building or anywhere that doesn't have that kind of situation in a family life as we live today. Amen? And we have to learn to work with that. These are the battles we're fighting, these interpersonal relationships. Yes, and the person next to you where you work may not be doing the work that needs to be done. They may gripe. How many of you ever worked beside of a less than desirable workmate? I mean, it's tough, isn't it? It's tough. Here you are working, 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 and here they are. You know, and you getting the blame for it if it don't get done. And you got to pick up their end and do it. And they're sitting there, and then they say something snotty to you or something bad to you, and you got to deal with that. My friend, these are the battles we have to fight. You can bring work home with you because of your interpersonal relationships and the battles that's going on where you work. Now, and if you don't believe that can be true, and girls, I love women. Don't misunderstand me. Boy, that sounds bad for a preacher to say, don't it? I got a wife. I got a mother. I got three daughters and a granddaughter. I love girls. But you ought to work a bunch of women sometimes. Sniff, 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 sniff. You hurt my feelings. Ooh, you got in my way. You stepped on my territory. You're trying to kiss up to the boss. And on and on and on it goes. Listen, and we fight the battle of the human situation. Not anybody's fault, except Father Adam, Mother Eve, maybe. We just fight the battle of the human situation. In the midst of all that we're doing, you're going to get the headache. In the midst of all that we're doing, you're going to get the gout. In the midst of all of these other battles that's going on, you're going to get appendicitis and have to take some days off from work. In the midst of all these situations that's going on, your hair's going to start falling out, and your chest's going to fall in your tummy, and your cheeks are going to fall into your chin, your hair's going to turn white. In the midst of all these situations, you're going to deal with the human situation. You're going to get the flu, you're going to get the stomach virus, you're going through all of it. It's nothing uncommon to human beings. But if Satan is fighting you, all of that will make a difference in how you fight the battle. I mean, you're going to stop and break your leg one day. You're going to fall and break your arm one day. All this is part of the human situation. You've not resisted unto blood, Paul said to the people at one place, but you've just endured what is common to man. The devil's not necessarily trying to get you when you get the flu, because everybody gets the flu. You know, it'd be easy for me to say the devil's trying to keep me from preaching this morning because I wasn't hoarse when I came into this building. But the truth is, it's my sinus drainage that worked all night that's got my throat in a shape this morning. I'm thankful, with the help of Halls and Jesus, that I'm able to deliver this message. That's what I went out the door for a while ago, was to get a Cherry Halls. Now, You got to live with the human situation you're in. You've got to fight it. It's a battle. If you don't think it's a battle, your human situation will get worse, and you'll find out how much of a battle it is. Trying to get a job, when you got a kid to take care of, when you got a house to take care of, when you're underqualified for some jobs and overqualified for other jobs, and you can't figure out which way's up and what you're doing. Man, all of those are human situations. People go through them whether they're going to heaven or hell, whether they got the Holy Spirit or not. I mean, everybody goes through these situations. But it's a battle. You have to fight it. I'm just thankful I've got the Holy Ghost and the promise of heaven when I go through the human situations. I mean, wouldn't you hate to go through all this and not have any place to go? Not know that there was a better life and not know that the Spirit of God was inside of you? And then there's, you may not think so. You may think you can just sit over here in Clinton and Hollow or over in Spruce Run or down at Rich Creek or wherever you happen to live, and the international situation don't have anything to do with you. Let me tell you something. We are impacted with the international situations of the world on a personal basis right here and now. If you don't believe it, go down to Martinsville and ask all the people that worked in the furniture factories about the jobs that's over in China right now that they used to have, that they built their houses on. I mean, the international situation has impacted them. Let us get in a hot war someplace that we have to draft boys and girls into service, and you'll find out how you're impacted by the international situations of the world. It causes a battle in your life. And what somebody is doing in a financial capital in Europe is going to affect the job that you have over here and going to affect how you take care of your family, and you're going to have to battle that. Now, I don't know about you, but I could get on edge watching the news. I get up in the morning, watch the news before I go to bed so I can be apprised of what's going on in the world because I want to see how close it is to Jesus comes. Any day now, folks. Well, you say, what in the world are we going to do with all this? What in the world are we going to do with this situation now that we're in this battle and we have these interpersonal battles to fight and then our own personal battles to fight? And we have to fight with our human relations. We have to fight with our human situation. We have to fight with our international situation. I got some good news. Pat Boone used to sing, I've got some great good news. And you say, what's that? The weapons of our warfare are mighty. Isn't that great? Let me say that again. And this is exactly what the scripture said. The weapons of our warfare are mighty. To what? To pull down those strongholds? To do what with those thoughts and imaginations? To bring into captivity every thought? God has given us the mighty weapon. But now I tell you, if you don't know it, you can't use it. If you don't go where it's preached and listen to it, if you don't read it and ingest it into your soul, you can't use it. But this is God's sword. And this word that God has, if you use with faith, you can win the battle. My friend, you do not have to be defeated by these battles that you're going through with. You may lose your prize car. You may lose your prize cow. You may lose some things in this world, but my friend, you are winning because you have a mighty weapon from God to use. You can use it against your habits. You can use it against your addictions. You can use it against your character flaws. Now, some of us never recognized that we had any of those. We are sure that our in-laws had them, but our side of the family never had any character flaws. We're just sure that we were all purebred, bona fide goody goods. Well, the truth is, we all have character flaws. We all were born with things in our character that need to be worked on. And we have to fight with them. The weapon of your warfare is mighty to the pulling down of the strongholds of Satan. Mighty to the capturing of your thoughts and of your imagination. Mighty to giving you the victory. Paul squirmed and worried about through the seventh chapter of Romans. And I keep going back to that chapter all the time, but I love it because this man with this great ministry is saying, when I want to do good, I cannot do good. When I don't want to do evil, I wind up doing evil. And whatever I want to do, I don't seem to be able to do. And he's just going round and around and around. He's having a terrible time. And he says, oh God, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? Aren't you glad the scripture didn't end there, period? You know what the next verse says? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friend, victory is yours. We sing a little chorus sometimes. If I hold my peace. Boy, that's a big one. And let the Lord fight my battles. That's a big one. David recognized it when he went out. He couldn't take Saul's armor. He couldn't take the armor of men. He just took a little rock and a little slingshot and went out. And somebody said, how are you going to win? He said, the battle's the Lord's. The battle belongs to the Lord's. My brothers and sisters, the battle is His. Give it to Him today. The weapons of your warfare are mighty. And I have to tell you, the choir's coming to sing. And we're going to sing a little song called More Than Anything. I've got to make it. My friends, I don't see why, if you're not ready to meet God, you just wouldn't be racing to the altar. I don't see why, if you're not in tune with the Heavenly Father, that you wouldn't just be racing to get in tune. You know why? Because the time is short. The time is at hand. And that old devil I was talking about us fighting, he knows more than you do. He knows he has a short time to work. And he's like a roaring lion going through the earth, seeking what he may and whom he may devour. Would you stand, please? Father, we come to you this morning in the midst of our battles. Lord, there's all kinds of wars going on in this building this morning. All kinds of people having battles. And Lord, I know when this goes out over the radio and over the internet, Father, that thousands of people are going to hear it. And they're all going to be fighting their own battles and their own wars and their own things. And Lord, they're going to need the help of God. Father, I pray that you'll convict us this morning that we cannot win this battle by ourselves, but the battle must belong to the Lord. Help us, Father, this morning to come to the realization that we can only win through Christ and that Christ can give us the glory and the honor of God. Father, I pray, let us take hold of the weapons of God that are mighty and can tear down these strongholds. Help us to take hold of the weapons of God and to fight the good fight and to win the victory in our own life, in our family's life, and in our community, our nation, and in the world. Father, forgive us for being so self-willed. Forgive us for thinking we can do it ourselves. Forgive us for trying our own weapons and our own selves. But help us, Father, to lay hold of your weapons to fight this spiritual battle. Heavenly Father, we humbly ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, to whom we give glory and praise to now and forevermore. Amen. As we sing, I would invite you to come. I'm going to be here at the communion table. We'll just be so glad to pray with you. And this church will act as a prayer team, and every one of them will pray with you as we pray with you this morning.
Take my breath.
glad you came to church this morning. God bless you with His Spirit. Go through this day with the joy of the Lord in your heart and in your mind. And don't forget, folks, we do have church on Sunday evening. We'd be glad to have you here in the 6 o'clock service. And we have church on Wednesday evening at 7. We'd be glad to have you then on that evening. And we have something on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings for young people, so you might want to bring them too. God bless you. May the Holy Spirit of God be a benediction upon this church, Father, and bless this congregation and keep them today and every day through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.